Here it starts.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Welcome to the Morning Open. It's just been released. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus proposes a 10-year, $856 billion health care bill. More on that coming up in just a moment. We're less than a half an hour into trading. Let's check. Where's Wall Street? Markets are pretty much flat right now for the S&P and the Dow, but the Nasdaq's up about a quarter of a percent. European shares are higher by about a percent and a half. And in Asia, stocks rose across the board except for Chinese shares today. Bill Stone is chief investment strategist at PNC Wealth Management. He joins us live from Philly this morning. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
Thanks for being with us this morning. So, got to talk about this huge health care bill that Max Baucus has brought forth. Not a Republican on board. Does that doom it from the start, or do Democrats make this happen all alone?
You know what? I think there's only one thing tougher than doing investment strategy, and that's political, but I'll go into it. I think it probably dooms this exact bill from getting through. I suspect that, like any other bill, if one party's completely pushing it, the problem is they're going to look for some sort of political cover and at least try and get some other members of the other party to sign on. So I think there'll still be some negotiating going on here.
As there has been over the past couple of weeks, yeah.
Stay tuned for more of the same.
Exactly. We just got word from the Fed that output at the nation's factories, Bill, was up 0.8% in August. We know economists were a little surprised by this. How about you?
No, definitely. I think we were looking for good numbers, but it was definitely a pleasant surprise, because what was even was really the best part about it is it wasn't just vehicle production, because if you think of August, that's cash for clunkers month.
Right.
When you're looking at the data, so when you look at the industrial production stripping out vehicles, it was still up 0.6%. So really some nice broad-ranged strength there.
All right. Bill Stone joining us this morning from Philadelphia. Many thanks, Bill.
Hey, thanks.
We do appreciate it. The Treasury Department said this morning it'll start winding down one of the emergency programs it created to ease the financial crisis. Officials are trying to avoid hitting the national debt limit. Marketplace's New York Bureau Chief Amy Scott explains.
The Treasury Department says it plans to reduce the size of its so-called supplementary financing account from around $200 billion to $15 billion. The account was set up to help fund the government's financial rescue programs. Joseph Bruzuelas with Moody'sEconomy.com says those programs were always meant to be temporary.
This is a positive step. This represents the fact that there's less demand for these emergency measures and that the economy is actually on the mend.
The move also buys Treasury some time before it hits the national debt limit of $12.1 trillion. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner has asked Congress to raise that ceiling. By scaling back the supplementary account, the Treasury takes a small bite out of its outstanding debt. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Chrysler said today it'll have a 5-year business plan out by November. The CEO, Sergio Marchionne, who also runs Fiat, says Chrysler could see additional cuts to U.S. production capacity. Listening to the Morning Report for Wednesday, September 16th, 2009, at marketplace.org. The British bank Barclays made an unfair profit when it bought some of the assets of Lehman Brothers a year ago. That is the claim by lawyers representing the collapsed investment bank. They've just filed papers in a U.S. bankruptcy court claiming Barclays made more than $8 billion in the deal. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The lawyers are calling for the contract between Barclays and Lehman to be reopened. They claim the deal, struck in the frenzied atmosphere after Lehman's collapse, was both hasty and suspicious. Barclays paid $1.75 billion for Lehman's U.S. brokerage business, but, say the lawyers, there were some undisclosed sweeteners. As a result, Barclays wound up with an instant windfall profit of $8.2 billion. The lawyers claim that Lehman executives went along with the deal because they were offered lucrative jobs with Barclays. Michael Prest is with the financial website Breaking Views. He says these revelations may not be as surprising as they seem.
Investment banks are not beyond preying on each other, rather in the way that they prey on the rest of us. So if they're able to get a good price and they made a good return on it, well, that's what investment banks do.
In a statement this morning, Barclays described the lawyer's claim as opportunistic. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Here's a drastic approach to budgeting. Today, the state of California courts will be closed to save money. Many court employees have been forced to take the day off. It's the first of what will be monthly furloughs brought about by California's budget problems. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler looks at the repercussions.
3 million cases will be delayed today because state courts are closed for business. What impact will it have?
People who are in jails will be in there longer without a hearing or a trial, costing the county money and further overcrowding of our jails. Criminal cases will be dismissed because of missed timelines.
That's Annette Ruiz-Vidas, an accounting assistant at the Superior Court in Redwood City. She represents court workers with the Service Employees International Union. She says furloughs will cost her about $80 a day in lost wages. That adds up. Over the next year, furloughs are expected to save California courts around $90 million. Stephen Levy is director of the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. He says a day off is better than a layoff.
Furloughs spread the pain, and in layoffs, people get devastated because they have to get a job in this horrible recession.
Furloughs at California courts will continue through next June. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
There's likely to be a vote today in the U.S. House on legislation that would steer a lot of money, $500 million or more a year, toward green automobile technology. That would be a big boost for an industry that's been hurting a lot. And that's on the heels of the Obama administration yesterday releasing plans to raise gas mileage standards to 35.5 miles per gallon within the next 7 years. Clean energy investors are hoping for more assists like that from Washington. In New York today, there's a meeting to try to drum up more private investment to spur cleaner technologies. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
Advocates of alternatives to fossil fuel say they're not getting Wall Street's attention. Philip Verlager, an economist at the University of Calgary, says that's because traditional fuels are still cheaper. Take solar power, for example.
It is just not economically competitive with the more traditional means of generating electricity by either natural gas, which right now is very inexpensive, or coal.
But Mindy Luber, the president of Ceres, a group of pro-environment investors, says government policy favors dirty energy.
We have had tax incentives for traditional fuels like coal, like natural gas, like nuclear power, but not for the renewable energy systems or energy efficiency.
Luber says government limits on carbon pollution, as proposed in legislation moving through Congress, would trigger investments in clean technology. For example, she says Europe's carbon cap has sparked new money for wind, solar, and geothermal power. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
This week, we're looking at some of the biggest stakeholders in the debate. It's part of the series The Cure, our continuing coverage on the remaking of healthcare in America. And today, we hear from doctors. Jill Barchet reports.
Neil Kalman practices family medicine in New York. For 32 years, he's been seeing patients for checkups, flus, colds, and a lot of diabetes. Like other primary care doctors, he gets paid per office visit.
So imagine that you're basically getting paid, you know, $20 an hour, which is less than what we pay our nurses.
Dr. Kalman wants to be paid more, and the health care bills in Washington would boost fees for primary care doctors by a small amount. But what Dr. Kalman really wants is for the government to step in and use its purse to promote preventive care for patients.
And really helping them lead healthier lifestyles so that they can prevent the kind of illnesses that really are preventable.
But if primary care costs go up, the money is going to have to come from somewhere. And specialists like Dr. Robert Vogelzang are worried they'll be targeted for cuts. Dr. Vogelzang is an interventional radiologist. He works with catheters and CAT scans to treat diseases that might otherwise require open surgery.
We're the people who invented angioplasty and stenting.
Unlike Dr. Kalman, Dr. Vogelzang can earn $1,200 for a procedure that lasts an hour and a half. His big concern is that if the government gets involved in the healthcare system, medical procedures will be judged by what they cost.
And what would happen is if you defined effectiveness in a narrow, cost-constrained manner, we may not pass that metric.
Vogelzang worries that Washington might drive private insurers to cut back coverage for his innovative procedures, and his specialty, along with his income, will decline. Paul Ginsberg is a health economist.
There's always been an issue with physicians and healthcare reform because healthcare reform has the upside for them that more of their patients will be able to pay their bill because they'll have health insurance. But they've often been concerned about the government control over the delivery of healthcare that might come with it.
Ginsberg says doctors are likely to remain divided as the healthcare debate continues. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
All right, going 93,000 feet up has never been so cheap. A couple of MIT students have found a way to get some snapshots of Earth, curvature and all, without having to use clunky and expensive rockets or satellites. The students filled a weather balloon with high-flying helium, attached a beer cooler equipped with camera and warming pads, and let it go. Cost of the project, about $150. Everybody talking about it, including the Federal Aviation Administration. Priceless. We've got a link to those snapshots in their website at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.